Romans, take your book of Romans, and if you don't have a Bible, in one of those pew Bibles, right behind the pews, you'll find a Bible, should hopefully, somewhere there. It's page 1179, page 1179, and we're going to read there, Romans 11 and verse 29 through to 36. Okay, Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Through to 36, 29, 2 to 36, to the end of the chapter. Okay, chapter 11 of Romans is one that doesn't get read too much. You don't hear this, you never hear this chapter being read at many church services. It's kind of complicated. It's kind of one of those chapters, like, what is really being said? And I think we try to make it more complicated than it is. Really, I think a lot of times we do that with studying the Bible. He's got a simple message and we're looking for a complicated one. And but in Romans chapter 11, he's talking about the Israel and the Gentiles, the Israel plan and the Gentile plan. Really, that's what it's about. God bringing his gospel to us because of the rejection of the Jewish nation that God dealt with, and they failed. And unfortunately, I'm afraid at the end of this time of history, we're going to discover we failed. The church failed utterly under the dispensation of grace. And I think we are close to the end. But anyway, let's take Romans chapter 11, verse 29. Let's stand as we say responsively to the end of the chapter, verse number 36. I'll read verse 29 and you join me on verse 30. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Everybody? For as in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The text is verse number 29, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And he's talking about God there. God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't go backwards. When he makes a promise, it'll be fulfilled, both to Israel, to the Jews, to you. The gifts and callings of God. And we're going to look at some of those gifts tonight, the gifts of the gifts that God has given us. Of course, everything's a gift. We breathe air outside, it's a gift. We look at the sun on a beautiful day like today, it's a gift, God's gift to us. It's all, God's creation is a gift. But there's specific gifts with the human race that he's bestowed at different times in history, and then he gifts the church. And he gives different particular gifts at different particular times, and everything from salvation onwards in the spiritual way. We're going to take a look at those tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good night, for the songs, for the testimonies, and for the blessing of just being here. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit wrote the Bible. Even though it was penned with men's fingers, it was the Holy Spirit who moved the pen, who moved the hearts, and who breathed the breath of life into this book. We don't just have another book. It is the book of books. It is the book of the ages. It's the eternal word of God. Every word. God breathed. God spoke. And Lord, we believe it with all our hearts tonight, and we want so much for you to teach us and help us with something that will just make a difference for each of us and for our church. For the glory of Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. You may be seated. The gifts and the callings of God. Now, the Romans, whole book of chapter 11, Chapter 11 is dealing with Israel. Has God cast off Israel? God forbid. That's in verse 1. No, he has still dealing with Israel, and he has not cast Israel off. His plan with Israel still goes on, and he's not finished with Israel. Why? Because the gifts and calling of God, what God has done and promised, he will not change his mind. God is one person we can trust. You might not be able to trust people. You might not be able to trust your relatives. You might not be able to trust Christians. Sometimes we should be able to, but you can trust God. I'm trying to help a guy right now. He is going through the fire. I mean, he is having a trial that I don't know how on earth. You know, it's a really tough, tough trial. Not here, not in Prince Albert, but, and I tell him, God is faithful. God will come through. I don't know how, I just know God says it, he will. If we trust him and believe, and if everything's right with him and you, you can trust him. It's gonna be okay. He's gonna bring it to pass. So the gifts and callings of God, God has gifted us with his Bible, the gift of the Word of God is a gift. He's gifted us with the church, a church, the people of God, that's a gift. When we meet together with God's people, that is a special gift of God that he's given us to help us, to be a blessing to us. He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives in us. It's one of his gifts. He didn't have to do it, but he did it. It was part of his plan and his gifting plan. And by the way, once you have the Holy Spirit, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't take it away. Now you can grieve the Holy Spirit and you can quench the Holy Spirit, but you can't lose the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit is living in you, it's there to stay. And you may grieve him, and to the point of even being brought to death, physical death, if you don't please the Lord as one of his. But God's gifts are without repentance. Means he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't take it back. He doesn't, okay? So these gifts are for us. And there's many more, but we're gonna look at a few of them tonight here. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the gift of 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 7. Okay, 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 7. Here's a gift. Now, how do we learn God's gifts? That's what I'm... How do we learn about God's gifts? The way we do that is we have to study the words in context. There's three ways to properly understand what the Bible is teaching. Context is one. Context of the Bible. What's the Bible teaching in this particular word? Number two, the grammatical context. How is the word used grammatically in other places? How is that word used? It's exciting when you take a word and you study the grammatical context of it, okay? The biblical context, the grammatical context, and the historic context. History. Sometimes words meant something different back when it was written than it does today, that will actually help you understand it better. So those three things, remember that in understanding the Bible, there's the grammatical, the biblical, and the historic context of the word that you're studying, or that particular word. Well, in this one here, it is the biblical context, biblical. How is it used in this context before and after? So the word gift, every time you see the word gift in the New Testament, it doesn't mean always salvation, the gift of salvation. It doesn't always mean a gift of serving, a serving gift, and so forth. We have to study how it is being taught in the context. So here we see in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7, and I'm gonna ask you, what is he talking about? What gift is he talking about here? Verse 7. He says, verse 7, 1 Corinthians, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God. One after this manner, and another after that. Now, what gift is he talking about here? Okay, now some of you Bible scholars, you're going to know it. I want, don't, please, give everybody a time to think and make a few mistakes before we go there. What is he talking about here? What is 1 Corinthians 7:7? He's given every man a gift, a proper gift. 1 Corinthians 7:7. Grant? Discernment. Discernment, okay? Grant says discernment. What do you think it is? This proper gift. One after this. Now it's context. It's context. So we got to see the verse before and the verse after. Okay, let's look for a clue here. He says discernment. Okay, verse 6. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. He's saying God's letting me write this. Verse number 2. Look up at verse number 2. What does verse number 2 say? Look at verse number 2 of 1 Corinthians 7. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own what? Wife. Oh, and let every woman have her own husband. So, okay, he's talking about something. Context, okay? Now let's go to verse number 8. Verse 8. What does verse number 8 say, Grant? It is good for them if they abide even as I. So now let's go back to verse 7 and see what the context of this gift. But I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. Okay, now what he's saying, what he's talking about here is the gift of singleness. That's what it is. The gift of being single. Did you know that the Bible teaches that it's a gift to be single? The whole chapter, if you want to go back and study this, you do it, but he's teaching that it's okay to be single. It's all right to be single. For some people, he said, I've given the gift of being single. And the whole chapter teaches that. So this gift is the gift of singleness, being single. A lot of times you think, boy, I'm not married. I don't have a wife. I don't have a husband. You know, there's something wrong with me. Maybe, you know, blah, blah. All these crazy thoughts go into your mind. It's okay. Just be glad, just be thankful for what God's blessing in your life. Trust him. Wait upon him. And you may be blessed with the gift of singleness. Okay? I'm going to give you another one here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 4. I want you to see here, we got another gift, okay? The word gift is being used again, okay? Another gift, but it's context that teaches us what this gift is. Verse number 4. Okay, I need somebody to read that verse number 4. Somebody read that, please. Andrew Harness. 2 Corinthians 8, 4. I caught you. Okay, you guys got a second. Go ahead, Kenny. Good, Kenny, thank you. Do you see that word in there, gift? The word gift. Now, what gift is he talking about here? What gift? What gift is he talking about? What is the gift? What is this spiritual gift that he's talking about here? Fellowship, Kenny says. Anybody else take a shot at it? Gift, Verfi. Giving. Giving. It's the giving gift. The gift of giving. Giving money. Giving. Now, I believe certain people have the gift of giving, but he's talking about the gift here that is being gathered to send to poor Christians that are in another place. And that other place was Jerusalem. They were suffering desperately, and he was writing up at Macedonia and Achaia, and he's saying, let's get an offering and take it down and help these poor Christians down, way down in Jerusalem, which was miles and miles away in those days, by ship and by foot and by horseback and whatever else. And he's calling it the gift of giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9 talk about this gift and getting this gift to the people who need it. We just did the same thing. Where did we do it? How did we do it at our church? We did exactly the same thing. We just gathered a gift for the people way down south called Venezuela. Venezuela. We just gathered a Christmas offering for them, it's around $2,000. We sent them $10,000 before that, back at Thanksgiving. And because they are suffering down there. Babies are dying. There's no food and there's no medicine. The hospitals are broke. There's no medicine. Doctors are leaving. It is a crisis in Venezuela. And so there's good churches down there. And we had the pastor here, and he shared his burden and basically thanking us for helping. But he shared some of that, what's going on in Venezuela. And it just confirmed to me that this is a place we really need to help as much as we can. And it's not just us, there's several churches across Canada helping with that. And we are helping the poor saints with a gift. That's what the gift is all about. Okay, look at verse 7, the context there. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 8, 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, he's talking about their gifts, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? What's he talking about here? The grace of giving. The grace of giving. The gift of giving. The grace and gift of giving from one church to another. From one person to another. It's the gift of giving. Okay? Look at verse number 8 there. It says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove what? The sincerity of your love. The sincerity of your love. You know how you can show love more than anything else? It's by what you do for others. It's about helping others. It's about giving to others. Look at verse number 9. He says, Jesus did this. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, Jesus was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Ye might be rich. He's saying Christ was rich. He became poor. He came down to earth with nothing. He didn't even have a place to sleep. Didn't have a place to put his head. And he came here and gave up everything for you. Everything. So that you could be rich. Do you know if you're a Christian here, you're rich. You know, I often think of this Donald Trump. Anybody know Donald Trump? He's quite the character, Donald Trump. It's an amazing guy, you know, regardless of what you think about him. I mean, this guy came from nothing. He built up an empire, a financial empire. He's a billionaire. And then he becomes the president of the United States of America. He's got high rises with Trump Tower on them in New York, and he's got Trump Tower in Washington, and Trump Towers all over the country. And you think, that is an amazing accomplishment for one guy, regardless of what you think of him. But I want to tell you something. You becoming a believer and a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you become richer than Donald Trump. You are richer than Donald Trump. And if you are saved and born again, you're in the kingdom of God, and you are heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to be rich. Doesn't matter what, you're going to be rich, okay? But now to serve him, faithfully serve him, then you are going to also be rewarded with a crown of glory that fades not away somehow. God's going to reward and recognize you when you get to heaven. So be faithful. That's the key. Be faithful. Okay? The gift of giving. Okay? He's talking about this gift and he's just commending them for this gift. And that's what that gift is all about. Gift of serving. I want to talk about now a little bit about the gift of salvation. Romans 5, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 15. I don't have the page numbers of those pew Bibles. Romans 5 and verse 15. I'm sorry, I just don't have them all down here. Romans 5, 15. What is it? 1173 in the pew Bibles for that verse. Now, Romans 5, verse 15. Romans 5, verse 15, it says this. It says that, but not as the offense, so also is the, what's those two words? Free gift. Now, what gift is this? What is this? What gift are we talking about here? Let's read here. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. What gift is he talking about here? Salvation gift. That is exactly right. Romans 5 is salvation. Romans 3 and 4 is, Romans 1, 2, and 3 are sin of the human race. I call it the disgrace of the human race. Romans 4 tells you how to get saved, justified. Romans 5 really expounds on it, and that's what he's doing here. So let's Romans 5. Look at verse 16. Romans 5 and verse 16. What does it say there? And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the, what's that next word? The gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the what? But the, what's, the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So he's saying we were condemned. We were condemned. The human race was condemned. But the free gift dealt with that problem. The free gift unto justification. Justification. What's justification mean? Anybody? Justification. Tell me what justification means. Somebody? Morgan? When you have a court? That's good. Yeah, that's good. You're good. Okay. Know it, but yeah, that's why I pick on you a little bit, because I want you to think about it, okay? Justification. Howard. Righteous. Yeah. Righteous. Made righteous. Justified. I heard it said like this one time in one of my Sunday school classes many years ago. Justification means just as if I had never sinned. Justified. That's one way to remember that word. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. It was like you never had one sin in your life. That's what justified means. Okay? And it really means more than that. It means not only never sinned, but it means that Jesus took his righteousness and gave it all to you. That's what justified. Okay? Let's keep going here. Verse 17. Verse number 17. Verse 17 says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned. That's through, by way, which man was that? One man's offense, death reigned. Who's death? Who's one man that death reigned? Adam. Adam, the first person in the human race. He destroyed the whole human race, brought death. Your sin is Adam's, goes back to Adam. Okay? Verse 17, for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, comma, what's the word? Jesus Christ. Good. Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing how he explains it here? It's Adam, our sin, It was dealt with through Jesus Christ, through gift. We didn't earn it. It was a gift. God gave us the gift. It wasn't because you were a good guy. It wasn't because you were you tried and finally got it. No. You came to the person who gave you the victory, and that victory was in Jesus Christ. The salvation is a free gift. All you had to do was receive it. He waited a long time for you to receive it. He waited a long time for me to receive it. And when you receive it, you are saved, saved, saved. It's amazing. It's really amazing. It was a gift. That's the point he's making here. Go to Romans chapter 6 now, verse 23. Romans 6:23, it says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's really summarizing what he said in chapter 8, or chapter 5 and chapter 6. He's bringing it to a conclusion here. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. He's talking here, the gift here is salvation. All of it. Every time we see it in the book of Romans, it's salvation. It's referring specifically to salvation. Salvation, salvation, salvation. I got one more I want you to see in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians and 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and chapter 2 and verse 8. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Okay, chapter 2 and verse 8, page number, somebody? 1216? 1216, page 1216 in the Pew Bible. Okay, for by grace are ye you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? It's a gift of God. And if you wonder what that means, look at the next verse. Not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, don't think you earned it. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything to get it except believe and trust. Trust and believe. That's all you had to do to receive the gift of eternal life and to be made richer than Donald Trump. Okay? I want you to look up at verse number 7. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's talking about after we go to heaven, after this is over, once we're done here, he's going to show us the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. That's the gift of salvation. That's what we have to look forward to. Okay, I want us to go now quickly. We've looked at the gift of singleness. We've looked at the gift of giving. We looked at the gift of salvation. And there's many more verses I could show you. I'm just trying to give you the context. When you see the word gift in the New Testament, make sure you study it in context. Because it could mean giving. It could mean being single. It could mean giving money. It could mean all of those things. So we have to study in context, and that's what I'm trying to show you here too, is that context is very important when you're studying the Bible. If you don't study the Bible in context, you can end up with anything. And that's how we have cults. Cults study the Bible out of context. They take a verse here and a verse there, and they make little rabbit trail doctrines, but they're not biblical context. They don't teach it in its context. It's imperative that you study the Bible, chapters, verses, all together, read, to get the whole picture. What is he teaching here? What is he trying to get across? And in this matter of gifts, spiritual gifts, God's gifts to us, there's one real clear example here, and it's of context being important. Now let's go to Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 7. We're going to look at a different gift. Okay, a different gift here. Ephesians 3 and verse 7. Okay, 3 and verse 7. Archie, do you want to read that?
Yes.
good. I am made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Now then he says who he is in verse 8, unto me whom less than the least of all saints is this grace given. So he's talking about a different kind of gift here, the gift of grace. What is, and this gift is not salvation. This gift is not serving. It's not giving. It's not being single or like some of the other examples. This is a serving gift. Serving. It's to serve in the body of Christ with. It's to serve while you're here on this earth. And I want to tell you, this is an exciting gift. Everybody has a gift to serve with. When he gave you the gift of salvation, he also gave you an ability to serve in his body, the church. A serving gift. Now, you will not discover this gift until you become engaged with the body, serving in the body. And God will reveal it to you, through you, to others, and reveal it to others, to you, okay, in the body of Christ, in his church. And that's what he's talking about, the gift of serving, okay? And that's the one I want to just touch on here. We're in Ephesians, go to chapter 4 now. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 7. Ephesians 4 and verse number 7. Verse 7. Okay, Ephesians 4, 7. Brother Rensbury? Okay. Everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He's talking every one of us. That means you and me. Every one of us who are Christians. The Bible's written to Christians. The New Testament is written to Bible-believing people. And he's saying, every one of us is given a gift. So this is kind of like it is. I remember one time I got a gift, some kind of a gift at Christmas. And it was Christmas, and my mom played a trick on us. And what she did is she put a big box, and inside the big box there was another box. And inside that box, there was another box. And I thought I was getting a great big present. And she kept, I'd open a box, there'd be another box. Take that box out, there was another box. And then I take that box, there was another box. And you know what? Salvation has got a, there's, it's a big, big present. And in it, as you open them, there is, instead of what there was for me, there was nothing in that next box, nothing in the next box, nothing in the next box, until I got to the smallest one. Now, with God, you open the big box, it's salvation. You open the next box, there's another gift. You open the next box, there's another gift. And you open the next box, there's another gift. And you open the next box, there's another gift. God has many different little gifts for us in the gift of salvation. That's why he calls it an unspeakable gift, our unspeakable gift. Now, so in this gift, it's a serving gift. He's giving us the serving gift to serve him with. Now, he says every one of us is this grace given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I want us to go to 1 Timothy now, chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14. Okay, 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 14. He says, is that right? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 14. Yeah, that's the one. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, it says, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. He's saying, Timothy, you have a gift. Don't neglect it. And every one of us has a gift. We need to discover it, and we need to develop it, and we need to be careful to keep using it. Okay, 2 Timothy, go over to the next one. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 6. He reminds him about his gift again. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now in those days, the gift of God was passed, it was recognized, not necessarily by the hands really, but it was recognized that the hands of the other pastors would be put on that man, and he would be recognized that he has the gift of pastoring or ministering. The point is, he's telling him here, you have a gift to serve. That's what he's telling young Timothy. And just like Timothy, you and I, if we're believers, God has given us all gifts. Now go to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we see he teaches a lot here about this spiritual gift of serving, the serving gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. He says, I want you to know this is important. And he teaches it in chapter 12, he teaches chapter 13, and he teaches chapter 14. It's all about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts, serving gifts. Not salvation gift, serving gifts. And folks, you got one. You have one. You have a spiritual gift, some kind of gift to serve in the body of Christ. And as you engage in the body of Christ, as you serve in the body of Christ, as you submit and serve, God is going to reveal to you what your gift is. You say, how will I know? You will know, and so will everybody else. You will know. Now, many, many Christians never discover their spiritual gift because they never engage in a local church where God is working. And they just get frustrated. They go through life empty. They don't serve. I believe many, many Christians never, ever discover they have a spiritual gift. They might know they're saved, but they know they're saved, but they never serve. They never submit, surrender, and serve. You won't discover the spiritual gift until you serve. You say, where do I start? Where do I start? How do I get started? You'd get started by surrendering. You get started by submitting. And you get started by serving. Where do I start? Serving. When there's an opportunity opens for you, the other day we had going out, handing out flyers. You know what? It's an opportunity to serve. You know, on Friday, people came and they cleaned the church. And you know, you think, maybe I could do that. Maybe I could help with cleaning the church. I could come and help clean the church. I wonder, would anybody would let me do that important job? You know what that is? It's an opportunity to serve. Now, it might not be your gift, cleaning, but what it'll do, it'll begin to work in your heart. You will begin to receive the joy of serving. And as you serve, then another God will open another door and another door, and he will begin to reveal in you what your gift is. He'll reveal it to you, and he will reveal it to others in the church. I remember when I started going to the church years ago, this church here. I was a brand new Christian. I didn't know anything from anything. I still don't know much, but I remember I started all these people doing different jobs and everything, and I thought, I was brought up to work. My dad and mom were working people, and I thought, boy, I should help out with something, but what can I do? I didn't know what, and I asked the pastor one day. I said, Pastor, what do you think I could do if I'd like to help somehow, serve, do something? And he said, well, that's a good thing. to want to do. And I said, just let me know if there's anything you think I can do. So he came to me, I think the next day or day after, and he says, you know what, if you would like to, would you be interested in being in charge of cleaning the Christian school, that we had a Christian school. And if you wanted a Christian school, it gets every day, it had to be cleaned every day. And he says, you don't have to do it every day, but if you would just take 2 or 3 days a week and clean it for, put you on the schedule, and you can learn how they do it and learn how, you know, with the guys. And I said, sure, I'll do that. And I got down there, I thought, cleaning. The first day, I mean, grab this old vacuum cleaner and start cleaning it. And I thought, that's a big difference from flying airplanes around the Arctic. I used to fly captain on a DC-3, and now I'm flying a vacuum cleaner up and down to the downstairs. And, but you know what? I had a lot of joy doing that. It began, there's something special about a vacuum cleaner in a church. I'm serious. Once I got over that little hurdle of actually doing it, I kind of looked forward to it. I would take that vacuum cleaner and I would clean. I'd have my little system. I'd put the chairs up and I'd clean and I'd vacuum. And I did that for quite a while, long time. Now, that wasn't my gift, by the way. That wasn't my gift, vacuuming the church. But it was an opportunity to serve. And it got me serving, engaged in serving. And then somebody else took over, and I showed them how to do it, and they took over serving. You see, you have to start somewhere. Don't wait for a big miracle and the flash in the sky of a special, you know. You just start serving where you are. You know what Jesus did? You know how he taught us how to serve? He left an amazing lesson just before he went to the cross. You know what he did? He got down on his knees and he took a towel and he washed the feet. That's what he did. He washed the feet. They all looked at him. What are you doing? You, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Washing my feet? Do you realize he washed Judas's feet? Judas's feet. He did all the disciples, every one of them. Serving. God has a place for you, a special place of serving in his body with a special gift of serving. And that's what will make this church special. Is everybody finding their place and doing their job serving in the body of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. You say, I haven't found it yet. If you're submitted, you're surrendered, and you're serving, God's going to reveal it to you. I promise you. You'll find it, and it'll be special, and you'll know it's where you fit, and you'll know it's for you, and everyone else will recognize it too. And Morgan came, and you know, she starts, you know, it's very obvious to me, Morgan has a gift of writing. She's got a gift of writing. She can write, and her writing is effective, and it's well done. And I think it's a gift. I think God's given her a gift, and she's using that gift, growing in the Lord, and her gift is being used all over North Canada, that gift. And the gift, you know, your gift as you use it. But I'm telling you, just like Paul says, neglect not the gift that is in you. Stir up that gift. Don't let it go dead. You got to keep using it. You got to exercise it. You got to use it. You've got to keep it going. Use it, your gift, for the glory of God. Amen? God's gifts, it's a wonderful plan. He's given every one of us an opportunity to serve the kingdom with our special gift. Not only the gift of salvation, but the gift of serving. Let's pray.